Thanks. I'm the medical director of the Occupational Health Clinical Center in Syracuse, New York. So how do we move this forward? Is it
errors?
Yeah. Great. I have no financial relationships to reveal or discuss. I would say, though, that I have to, as you saw, I stood up a minute ago in terms of involvement with the Koch Group, and I've been in occupational health since the mid-1980s, and I've really been involved with Koch since then, beginning with KKosh when I was doing my residency, and then when I went to Syracuse with SynKosh and also the Koch Group in Ithaca. So that was part of the reason for my interest in doing this project that I'm going to talk about, was just this history that I have, but also more specifically was that when I went to Syracuse in 1988, SynKosh, which was the Central New York Council on Occupational Safety and Health, was a pretty strong presence there. And over the years, it had its ups and downs, and then eventually had a complete demise about three or four years ago. So part of my, another big piece of what this project was about for me was to sort of explore a little bit on what happened, why did SynKosh fail, and sort of then thinking about that or sort of getting into that, the project got a little bigger because I started thinking about comparing it to some of the other Koch groups in New York State and what's going on with those Koch groups. Because I think it's important for us in Syracuse and New York State, and maybe even broader than that, what is the current state of the Koshes of New York, but also what's the implications for those for that activity that has, or that history that we've had for future for our future. So basically, and I would like to thank Jeanette Zeckler, who's my colleague on this. She's here today. She did a lot of the legwork and a lot of the interviews and research part that helps lay the groundwork for this. This is based on about almost 40 in-depth interviews that we did with different people from around the state of New York, and you can see the interviewees that we did heavily in Syracuse, of course, and then in New York. In New York, and then we broadened it out to the rest of the state, at least to some degree. So in terms of the origins of the New York Koshes, as Peter and Jessica talked about, I think the New York Koshes came from the same sorts of context and milieu that the Koch movement generally came from, and that in New York these were organizations that developed out of the labor movement, and the labor movement allied with activists who were public health or in the medical field, occupational health field, and got together to form these organizations. And a lot of the people that joined, I think, originally were political, often active in other movements previously, or knowledgeable about other movements, which I think also added some stimulus to the development of this, of the Koch movement. You can see some of those social movements of the 60s and early 70s there. In terms of the goals the in New York, the goals I think were similar to what Peter and Jessica described. I think the bottom thing there, I just wanted to emphasize that these, for a lot of people, especially in the early days, this was about empowering workers, but also I think that people who helped develop the Koshes in the 70s and 80s in New York had a political agenda that involved empowering workers, but also sort of a vision of workers as a class, and that of building that working class power as the Koshes, they felt, and occupational health organizing could be a central piece of that. And that animated a lot of the early organizing. And when we went around to talk to people around the state, there was, and this is, I think, I'm pretty sure that that Frank Goldsmith's name is the only name I have in this presentation, because he was mentioned by everybody that we, everywhere we went, as the guy in the late 1970s. He was with the Cornell Labor Studies Program, who had a vision of not just a Koch group in New York City, but a Koch network across New York State that would sort of work in unison around these issues. A lot of people gave him credit for really sort of stimulating that effort and consciously going out and organizing in different parts of the state. And the result was, as you can see, eight, it's eight, right? One, two, three, seven, eight different Kosh groups that were eventually formed. And NICOSH was the biggest in New York City, but then around the state, other ones were formed. And I have the dates there are approximate because when we talked to people, it was some of the dates are kind of iffy. So, but they're all around the same era, early 1980s. Anycosh, Eastern New York Kosh in Albany, Allegheny Kosh is way out in Western New York in Jamestown, and Oneida Herkimer Kosh in Utica. And Mid-State Education and Service Foundation, that was not their name in 1980. They were affiliated with the Labor Coalition in Ithaca, and they're the only one that didn't take the Kosh name. But as anybody from New York State knows, Ithaca is a different place. So now, here we are 30 years later or so, and so the established Kosh groups that exist are three: NICOSH, WinCosh, and the one in Ithaca, Mid-State. And there are Koshes that are growing, as Jessica identified, one in Albany and ours in Syracuse. And these are the Koshes that have had their demise. And I would say that in terms of our research, this is kind of, you know, this is this. I also see this as a work in progress, like other people have talked about their jobs or their work. As this is kind of a preliminary exploration of this topic, and obviously we've sort of been heavily into the Syracuse and somewhat into the New York scene, less so otherwise. And some of the Koshes, like Allegheny Kosh and Okosh, we were unable to really locate even anybody to talk to about those as of yet. So hopefully we'll be able to develop some more information about some of these other Koshes. In terms of activities, this one and the next slide, I've had the hardest time sort of trying to summarize. Not really summarize, but trying to capture not only the specific activities, but also the spirit of those activities as they relate to the general mission of the Koshes in terms of building worker power. So this idea of technical assistance sounds kind of bland a little bit, but it's an important part of the activities. Education and training is a second major aspect, and just for NICOSH in particular, the NICOSH sort of after big disasters, like after 9/11, the World Trade Center disaster, and Superstorm Sandy, NICOSH I think had a people from that organization talked about kind of a resurgence in activities following those sorts of big disasters. Advocacy campaigns of various types, and Peter and Jessica put up a nice slide that showed a bunch of those. Right to Know in the early days was a big one for New York State. Defending OSHA has been a recurrent theme throughout, and there's been a number of state legislation sort of victories that that the Koshes have played a major part in, including development of an occupational health clinic network, of which my clinic is a part. And legislation around some other workplace issues, including pretty recently workplace violence and safe patient handling, which safe patient handling was something that the Western New York Kosh has really been active in and developed a real sort of not just expertise, but a model program in Buffalo. I couldn't sort of, for lack of better terms, local campaigns and sort of state and national campaigns. Kosh groups have been involved in supporting unions in different ways, both in terms of specific support around specific health and safety issues, but also more when unions are more in organizing sort of mode that I think probably all the Koshes have been supportive of unions who have been organizing in specific workplaces where health and safety has been a major piece of the activity. And then from a state and national standpoint, in the early 90s, for about maybe 4 or 5 years, there was a very active labor environment network, which the Koshes were central to in New York State. We had a conference every year that was pretty well attended. And then Workers' Memorial Day, as mentioned. So in thinking about sort of what is it that makes Koshes grow and has led to their demise in New York State, I came up with, I sort of divided things up into the sort of extra organizational milieu, I called it, or the things that happen outside of the organization and the things that happen inside the organization. And there's a list of things there, and some of them I think are familiar to all of us in terms of the political climate and the decline of industry and the loss of a lot of the industrial unions that were a big piece of the Kosh picture. But I think what's important in New York State is the top one. That one of the things that's unique about New York State is that it developed what they call the Hazard Abatement Board. And that Hazard Abatement Board is funded through a workers' compensation mechanism. And what that does is creates a pot of money for training and education that Kosh groups have been funded for and has been a major source of funding for all of the Kosh groups since the mid-1980s. And all of the Kosh has credited that funding as being a major way that they've been able to sustain their activities. I think there's also a flip side to that in that funding comes with significant constraints in terms of what the Koshes are expected to do both administratively in order to maintain the grant. And that was one of the reasons for that Sinkosh had such difficulties was they just couldn't keep up with the administrative issues related to the grant. But in addition to that, it's very specific about what it will fund and what it won't fund, and the Koshes have to be pretty creative in terms of trying to figure out how to do what the original mission was while still being able to maintain the funding. And then I think the last thing I would just talk about, as Peter and Jessica mentioned, is the importance of the development of worker centers and other worker advocacy organizations. In New York State has been exceptionally important in sort of getting the Koshes to start looking at workers that are outside of the union realm and in non-union situations, immigrant workers and others in low-wage jobs, mostly. In terms of the intra-organizational milieu, some of the things that I think were important, you can see up there in terms of the staff quality, the staff longevity, sort of the size of the city helps to sort of dictate, you know, in a lot of cases, the size of the pool that you have to draw from in terms of staff and board to actually participate on in the Kosh. The composition, activity, and orientation of the board of directors is clearly an important issue. The relationships between the board and the staff, and also the ability of the Kosh to develop specific type of expertise or specialization. And just to give an example, I mentioned WinKosh, and I'll just mention them again. WinKosh over the last probably 10 years or so really has taken on safe patient handling as like their major issue, and it has become a recognized expert in that area, and not only regionally, but I think broader than that, and has developed an alliance with a major health organizations in the area, developed a model program, and so really has become a leader in that field in an expert sort of sense. So what are some of the things that lead to or are important for sustainability of the Koshes? Funding, obviously, but some of the other things I think are important too in terms of the support from the labor community, but also developing roots in the community outside of the specific labor union movement. Ability to develop political support, again, particularly given the Hazard Abatement Board and the state's role in funding a lot of this. Ability to respond quickly to events, for example, NICOSH responding to 9/11 or to Superstorm Sandy, I think added to its status and its recognition in the community. And finally, really important has been whether the organization has the ability to adjust, because the world that we live in now is very different from the world that the Koshes were developed in the late 70s and early 80s in terms of our the work that people do, the level of unionization, just sort of what I would call the landscape of work has changed so drastically that the Koshes really have to keep up with that, respond, be able to respond to that. Otherwise, I think they will become irrelevant. So in terms of some of the specifics, I wanted to talk about three Koshes that I'm calling the Koshes that are carrying on the original ones. The two of them are NICOSH and WinKosh. I think that you see some of the characteristics that I think made NICOSH, has allowed NICOSH to carry on for that period of time. And then if you look at the list with WinCosh, it's similar, but I think the differences between the two organizations was that when we interviewed staff, and particularly Joel Schufro, who was the director there for 30-some years, his position was that the unions were the base for NICOSH and the unions remained the base for NICOSH, and that was sort of what the orientation had been right from the start. And I think that NICOSH has been a little bit more late in terms of in comparison to WinCosh in terms of its developing its relationships with worker centers, low-wage workers, and others who are in the sort of non-union end of things. And I think WinCosh, in contrast, sort of has had connections with the sort of broader social justice movement in the Buffalo area ever since its inception, which I think is an important part of why it's been able to carry on, and not only carry on, but also carry on while being funded primarily by the New York State Hazard Abatement Board, and still has been able to creatively use that money and continues really kind of true to the mission. And then you have Ithaca, which continues on much smaller milieu or much smaller area. And there the role of the worker center has been key to that Kosh's work and the amount of activities that they do down there, because that worker center really is the labor movement in the Ithaca area. Okay, and just a couple more things before I finish up. On the flip side of things, what about why did some Koshes fail to survive, and SynCosh, the one I'm most familiar with? And I think some of the things you can see up there, I think some of the, like I said before, part of it was that it was difficult to for them to keep up with the administrative parts of the grant. But I think the other key areas was that the board of SynCosh, and I was on the board for a long time as a point of disclosure here, I think the board, we were really bogged down with a kind of narrow vision of what the Kosh was and what the Kosh ought to be doing, who the Kosh was connected to. And in the end, what SynCosh did, because a lot of it had to do with also keeping up with the grant, trying to bring in revenue beyond what the grant brought in, was that the SynCosh eventually became pretty much a fee-for-service sort of training and education provider for employers in the area, very little used by the unions. And in Rochester, people there described in Rochester as a disaster around one particular executive director, pretty much brought that organization down, which sort of speaks to the idea that in some of these smaller cities, one person or a couple key people can make a huge difference in survival or not survival, actually, of the organization. Okay, so just to finish up, what are some of the challenges that that the Koshes in New York face? Again, I think maintaining the funding and diversifying the funding to try and get some other funding beyond the HAB funding in order to maintain not just funding, but also to maintain the vision and sense of original mission. And then the second thing is sort of staying connected with the labor movement, while at the same time making connections with non-union workers, breaking out of the occupational health and safety sort of silo to make connections, as Peter and Jessica were talking about, in terms of some of the idea that safety and health is just one piece of working conditions generally, and that that we can make common cause with other people working to better the lives of workers in a lot of different ways. And then finally, as Jessica mentioned also, that our governor has become a great friend of the working people now, and he has not only started this nail salon initiative, but he has also begun an initiative to address the needs of what he's calling exploited workers in 14 different other low-wage industries. So I think that offers, I think, an opportunity for us for activity. And finally, to develop I think another challenge is to, as we develop caution in Syracuse and also in Albany and Ithaca, we'll have a pretty good network that I think needs to think about unifying itself statewide. Thanks.